Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello everybody. How are you doing today? Welcome to our Inner Healers online radio. As you know, Inner Healers is an integrative health-oriented concept that considers all the answers that we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this are writing back and contacting each other, with whom we are starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. A company under the same name was created in Peru to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm a healer, a teacher, and I will be your host for today's show. I'm the founder of Inner Healers in Peru. And the music that you were listening to, the beautiful music you were listening to, is called Opening to Love, and it is by Ashana. Today we have Ashana as a very, very special guest. She's, first of all, a wonderful human being. You will notice that when you listen to her. Ashana has been weaving together soaring angelic vocals and the celestial sound of crystal singing bowls. Ashana's music is an exquisitely crafted luminous sonic tapestry that soothes and opens the heart, enfolding the listener in a transcendent experience of the divine. This stunningly beautiful alchemy has been hailed by listeners all over the world as breathtaking and a gift from heaven. Ashana's CD recordings, All is Forgiven, Jewels of Silence, and the newly released Beloved, which is the song that you heard from, co-written and produced by renowned world music artist Thomas Baikie, who also produced other singers like Natham Kaur or Seal, are filled with sensitive and profoundly healing renderings of sacred song, chant, and mantra, inspired by the world's traditions. Her intuitive vocal improvisations and crystal bowl playing are featured in the documentary film The Sound You Feel, Vibrations of Healing, released by Beyond Words, and have received international acclaim for their sensitivity, depth, and beauty. Ashana's live performances have been called powerful and deeply transformative, and she travels across the U.S., Canada, and abroad, offering concerts and sound healing workshops. Classically trained, Ashana graduated with a degree in vocal studies from the Mann's College of Music in New York City, and for years performed as soloist and ensemble member in New York's early music scene. Moving from ancient to contemporary, she immersed herself in theater, jazz, pop, and children's music as performer, recording artist, songwriter, and teacher. For the last decade, she has been involved in a deeply personal exploration of sound healing and vocal toning, during which period she discovered and began playing quartz crystal singing bowls, instruments that are often used in contemplative practices to support healing, balance, and well-being. She says that for her, singing is a life path, and we would love to learn from her today how come this life path can help us understand that we can love our inner self through music. Hello, Ashana. Hello, dear. Hello. Ashana. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ashana.
Yes, I'm right here.
Hi, dear. How are you? Welcome to our show. Thank you very much for participating today with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me very, very much. I'm sorry about all the technical difficulties we're having today.
It's okay. There are no worries at all. How are you feeling today?
Actually, I feel really good. We're getting ready to go on a little holiday for a few days, and that's nice after 3 months on the road and finishing up the new album. I feel really, really great. It's
been a lot.
That is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful. We were talking previously about, you know, having this show, and you told me something that I love very much. You were saying that each of your CDs actually tells a story, and it holds a very special frequency. So could you please tell us, first of all, about yourself, about how come you decided to dedicate your life to music, and what have these CDs been for you in your personal life?
Wow, that's a big question, but I'm gonna make this as brief as possible so we can get talking about all the juicy stuff. I wanted to sing ever since I was a very young child, and in fact, I was singing when I was a young girl. And I had this dream, and I had this vision pretty much from the time I was 3 or 4 or 5 years old. I always saw myself performing in some way, shape, or form. And over the years, for many, many, many years, I went to music in high school, and then I went to the Conservatory of Music in New York City, and I began dedicating myself to music. I didn't know where my place was, though. So I was testing and experimenting with all kinds of things and really looking for my joy. And I found it a lot in theater, musical theater and theater. I found a lot in early music. I found it a lot performing in opera and light opera. But it still wasn't enough. It wasn't something that would carry me through as a lifetime. So about 11 years ago, I was introduced to Crystal Singing Bowl. And when I first found them and discovered them, the very first bowl that came into my life, the moment I played it, I struck the side of it and I burst into tears, and I knew that light had come to live in my home. And the very second thought that I had when I played the bowls was, oh, I'm going to make music with these. And it took about 5 years or 6 years. And it was a wonderful, wonderful unfolding over those 5 or 6 years until finally I reached a point where I felt that I was ready. And I went searching for a producer. I discovered Thomas Barkey's music in the work that he does with Sanatam Kaur. And I connected with him, and we had an instantaneous, really almost instantaneous connection, which over the years has deepened into really a lifelong friendship and creative partnership, collaboration and partnership. And really, within about 3 days of being together with Thomas, we wrote the very first song together, which was our version of the Ave Maria. And that particular piece of music opened up a portal into something that I can't even put words to. When I think about it, I get all emotional, even now, after so many years later. So pardon me.
It's okay. It's beautiful. Pardon for your...
Well, I've been in a recording process for the last 9 months, and we just gave birth to a new album. And just thinking about that whole process with the Ave Maria and with All Is Forgiven just brought everything up that I've been going through this year again. Because every album that I have done has literally opened up a portal to a frequency, an energetic frequency, to an experience of the etheric energies that have changed my life in profound and significant ways that I can't even calibrate. And what has happened also is that Thomas is in my collaboration. We've birthed these albums, these CDs, which now are touching and transforming people's lives all over the world. It's an astonishing journey. It's a privileged gift that I feel I'm really honored to be the caretaker of this music. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, it totally does, and you've done it from your heart, which is very beautiful. So Ave Maria is part of All Is Forgiven CD?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
And after all... Yes, and after All Is Forgiven, you started a new journey called Jewels of Silence, yes?
Well, actually, it wasn't a journey. It was a really interesting experience because we created that album because of the sound ceremonies that I was doing with the Crystal Singing Bowl. And I've been doing workshops and sound ceremonies with Crystal Bowl for 11 years now. And it's evolved into a very beautiful and intricate ceremony, which now I'm calling a crystalline activation for profound manifestation and healing. Mm-hmm. And what happened is in these ceremonies, people ask me afterwards, oh, do you have this on a CD so that we can have this experience at home with us? So I actually went into the studio with Thomas to create an experience of the sound ceremony. But what happened was completely different. Because you just never know when you're going to go in a creative flow and an organic that what's going to come out the other end. And it was not the sound ceremony. So what came out the other end was this just amazing, gorgeous, transcendent meditation album that literally takes people into a profoundly deep state of silence. And this is incredibly significant because, you know, nowadays our minds are so busy and we are incredibly distracted with television and our lives and our careers and business. And I mean, if you watch the movies now and you watch films from the 1940s and the 1930s, the pace, the visual and auditory pace of films now is relentless. So our lives have sped up incredibly, and we process information because of the internet and computers at a faster and faster rate. And I believe in my heart, in fact, I know it because of talking to people all over the world about this, people are craving silence. They are craving to be supported in an experience that will allow them to slow down and to go deep, to allow their minds to quiet so that they can actually rest and feel what it feels like to be in relationship with self, and I'm talking big self. And actually, all my music does this. But Jewels of Silence in particular actually works on literally shutting the mind down so that it stops. So it's been amazing. I am hearing people writing to me and emailing me, phoning me, talking to me about the music in all its forms, and in particular about Jewels lately, because of people with problems with insomnia or trouble resting or just never been able to meditate because they couldn't get the mind to quiet, and actually now having these experiences because of this music. So it's a great privilege to be able to hold that space for people, both in the recordings and in public performances as well.
Yes, definitely. And what about Beloved?
Beloved, oh my God. That album, Beloved, is so beautiful. And what that album does is, you know, Luciana, I don't know about you, what it's like for you and your practice with inner healers, but I know what it's been like for me personally. And the journey of actually connecting with your higher self on a personal level so that you open up the door and have the experience of feeling your divine, most precious, highest self, the light, the love that you are, and to take the steps to have a relationship with that being. That is your divine self. I'm not talking about the personality. I'm not talking about the small self. I'm talking about the big self. And so when I recorded Beloved, I was in this process of opening up that door, opening up the communication, literally feeling the light frequency from that self come down into me that I could be in full relationship with it. And that album holds that frequency to allow that experience to unfold in somebody. Does that help?
Definitely. I'm about to cry myself now.
Well, this is beautiful. There's so many amazing songs on Beloved. There is a, but in particular, because I love all of the songs, and they're all very, very dear to me. There is a rendition of the Aramaic Lord's Prayer on Beloved. And when I was singing that, and when I received the experience, the information, the guidance, let's say, to record in Aramaic the Lord's Prayer, I had the experience for many, many months of being open to the Christ consciousness frequency so that I could hold the space for the language, the sound current, to actually carry that light. Now, I don't know if I was successful at it. All I can tell you is that my own personal experience was one of just expanded love when I was singing. And it happened over and over again. I sing it live as well. And then there is this song on Beloved, which is called Only You in My Heart. And when I was recording that song, I was feeling this, as I was describing before, this experience of being in such an altered state and feeling the light frequencies coming down through the central channel, down through the Antakarana. Literally, I was enveloped in it, and it was like floating. I believe in my heart that because of that, of being in that state, that the actual frequency of that experience is captured on the recording. And so when anyone listens to it, and they close their eyes and they allow themselves to open, you breathe in and out of the heart, then you can access that place inside yourself, for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think you were, I might be wrong, but I think you were working on another CD. You have been working on another CD this year, which is not ready yet, but it's on its way.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. I'm not releasing the title yet. We have a title for it, and we're being a little mysterious and quiet about it for now. but it is complete. The album is finished. It's in the process of getting its cover and all the liner notes written, and on its way to the manufacturer in about a month. And it'll be released in March 2011. And this particular album is about moving completely and fully into the expanded heart. So it allows you, right, but I have to talk about it without talking about it, huh? I can say that the experience of recording every one of the songs on this album was joyful, was ethereal. It takes a journey of experiencing the divine feminine in many of her forms, as she's expressed through many sacred traditions. And for me, the Divine Feminine is merciful and compassionate, forgiving. Energetically, it's expansive. It's beyond the universe. It is the source and potential of all creation. And this particular CD that's coming out in March carries those frequencies of the divine.
That sounds really, really wonderful. It must have to do with maturing ourselves also, right? Like to be able to get there.
Totally. Well, you know, Luciana, you know this. There's no getting there because we already are there. There's only the remembering and the awakening awareness that we indeed are there. And there's no there because that is who we are. Am I making any sense? But this is my...
Totally. Totally are, yes. Yes, definitely. But it's also, you know, time exists. And as time exists, it gives us the opportunity to enjoy getting there. You know, it's like a process to be able to remember and recognize ourselves for who we are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, when I look around and experience the collective consciousness now, we are moving so quickly, and I see it inside of myself as I become more consciously aware that I am awake, as I become more consciously aware that I am a manifestation of the divine light and the divine love. As I become more aware of all of that, I see it everywhere. And I see it unfolding and awakening, that same consciousness and awareness in everyone. And this is what is so remarkable to me. You know, we have had these teachings for millennia. And now it seems almost like, or it feels to me, like we are galloping there to that place now. We are galloping. It is like when you watch the flower begin to unfold, the bud is very, very tight, and it looks like, oh, you can't even conceive that it could be so ravishing, beautiful in its open state. And now it's like the bud has unfolded, and it is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And everywhere we look, if we have eyes to see, the bud is no longer a bud. It's a flower. So that's my experience now. And I feel, as I said, you know, I keep saying this, so blessed to have this music in my life. And I watch people at different stages of their journey, okay, because we're all doing it differently. You know, some people are working deeply with forgiveness. I mean, we're all working with forgiveness, really, all the time. Some people are really focused on that. Some people are focused on going into the silence. People are focused on opening the heart. And people are focused on opening their connection to the divine. And I feel like every musical journey that I take is a road that I'm traveling to hold the space for others. So, does that make sense?
Yes, it totally does. So how would you say music helps us get there? How does music get us into our own inner self? And how does it get us to finding love inside and then being able to be love?
I love that question. That was the question I've been waiting for us to talk about. Because I think this is where all the juicy pieces lie. You know, because we're really talking about becoming, deepening our relationship to ourselves and coming into a loving, nurturing, compassionate relationship with self. This is really what I know in my heart, this is why what we're doing on planet Earth. We are moving out of separation on a cellular level and moving into relationship with self in a whole and complete way, recognizing, knowing ourselves as whole, as fully loved, as compassionate, loving, kind, light-filled aspects of creation, divine creation, knowing ourselves as holy and whole. Now, music is, music, I know, is almost like a direct bridge to that knowing, because it is a universal language. We hear that all the time. And it speaks to the emotional body. It speaks to the spiritual and energetic body. It speaks to the mental body. Music speaks to the whole energetic being that we are, down to the physical. And the impact of the music, when it is created with consciousness, with awareness, with love, depending on that consciousness of the beings that are creating the music, they are going to evoke that consciousness in the listener. So when you are dedicated to that path of light, then the music that you are creating is going to hold that frequency. And of course, it's done in a myriad of ways, whether it's done through rap or hip-hop or gospel or kirtan or classical music. It doesn't really matter, because it's the consciousness of the music that matters. And people connect to the consciousness, whether they know it or whether they don't. So you don't need a language in music. And so certain kinds of music, for example, the music of sacred mantra and chant, or the music that's with crystal singing bowls. You know, crystal singing bowls amplify the frequency of anything that they are supporting. So when we do music that has chant and mantra and prayer and intention, and then you add the bowls into that, it's amplifying all of that. So it's even bigger than it is without that. Mm-hmm. And then when the listener moves into a state of deep relaxation, when the listener emotionally opens to the sound itself, then the energetic field of the person listening begins to attune, to resonate, to shift, so that the listener begins to experience that frequency themselves, in themselves. Now, when they move into deep states of relaxation, on top of that, those deep states of relaxation are where the deepest healing occurs. Now, that occurs on the emotional level, it occurs on the physical level, it occurs on the spiritual level, it occurs on the mental level. So music, depending on the kind of music too, can actually facilitate those states of consciousness that allow the release, the clearing of thought forms, belief systems that no longer serve. It can help with the relief of chronic pain and suffering on the physical level. It can assist in the transition between moving from the physical body in the physical form on the earth plane out of the physical body through the death portal. It can assist and facilitate the opening to other states of awareness on multidimensional levels. It can facilitate and assist a person coming into and experiencing the heart and opening the heart to receive love from the relationship of self to self.
Mm-hmm. So according to what you just said, would you say there is a specific maybe consciousness attached to each type of different music?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely say that. Because the music itself is going to reflect the consciousness of the person creating.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll use very extreme examples here, right? So you have an artist who is very angry, and they're writing songs to express and clear the anger in themselves through the personality. And so the music will hold that consciousness. You have an artist who is working through sadness, grief, or loss. And you will experience, when you hear them play or sing, whatever their medium is, you will actually feel and hear that coming through the music. You have an artist that is, let's say look at someone like Aretha Franklin or Mahalia Jackson, two of the greatest gospel singers ever to have lived in our time. And these two women profoundly and deeply devoted in their relationship to God through Master Jesus. And when they sing, you feel that devotion. It's profound. You feel it, whether Aretha is singing R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know, or whether she's singing the gospel. It doesn't matter. The consciousness of where that musician is with himself or herself is present every time they play or sing, whether it's live or in a recording.
That's very interesting because I don't know if I got to tell you this, but I'm taking singing lessons, and I dream of learning how to play the piano. And I've had this since I was very little, but I was told at that time that it was not a good thing to do, you know, or that I was not good enough to be able to do any kind of music. So years went by, and then I started meeting musicians from all around the world, and something happened, and then I started choosing to start believing that maybe I could do something with it, you know. But it was not really like thinking about making music for others, but making music with myself. And then I started this lessons with a friend of mine. I started the lessons this year, and she's a music therapist. So we started working on all the blockages that prevented me from getting myself into music. And then I discovered that even though I had always made music, because I used to write music when I was little, even though all the music that I did always were very sad, very, very sad songs, I discovered that the more I walked through the pain in the music, I would get to a very special place inside that somehow was not pain anymore or was not suffering anymore, but was actually gratitude. And that's something that has changed, you know, in my life since I was little to now. Because every time I start singing, because this teacher is, I mean, we're just starting, you know, so we're not into many techniques still. But my classes are about trying to put that emotion into sounds, you know, just whatever comes and just letting it out. And it's very interesting because the more I walk the road through music of pain or of sadness, there is a place where I get after passing by all the pain, which has to do with gratitude. What would you say about that?
Well, first of all, what I would say is hooray for you for your courage and your willingness to walk that road. Music for me has always been a vehicle to clear my emotional body. And I have had many, 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 I can't even count them anymore, probably hundreds of thousands of, or more, experiences through my life as a singer and as an artist where, you know, I will be having an emotional experience while I am singing or while I am playing and singing, and come through that on the other side of the music to a place of either peace or joy or gratitude or expanded just delight and happiness. I remember when I first started singing, you know, I was a young teenager, and I would go to music. I didn't understand this at the time, but I would go to music to actually feel and express what I was feeling internally. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what I was doing. Now, you know, many, many, many years later, I'm aware of this, and I can, for myself personally, as opposed to when I'm performing or recording, you know, I go to my music to help me move through whatever it is going on in my life. If it's sadness or grief, or, you know, I might be angry, I'm frustrated, I'll sit down and I'll play, and I'll allow those feelings to move through the sound so that they can, so that they're no longer stuck in the body and they're no longer stuck in my consciousness of my personality. And it's very, very freeing. Music therapy is really music therapy.
Music is
therapy. If you want to call it that. You know, it's also, you know, tremendous, wonderful fun. And beyond that, it allows you, I mean, music opens the doors to allowing you to experience and revel in and play around in just these beautiful emotional and spiritual states of being. That's why I believe, you know, why kirtan singing and hymn singing and gospel singing and praise singing, you know, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter what religion you're in, whether you're powwow singing and you're Native American or you're you know, you're singing praise songs in a Christian church, or you're singing dance music in a synagogue, or you're singing kirtan, yoga kirtan. It doesn't matter. The music and the sound current uplifts you to this place where you move out of the mundane personality consciousness, which sometimes the mind gets us stuck in these places. The mind gets us stuck in repetitive emotional thinking that doesn't necessarily serve us. And the music can pull us out and uplift us into the state of consciousness where we remember, either consciously or unconsciously, that we are beings of light, of joy, of deep reverence, of happiness, of peace. Music is delicious. I don't know any other word for it. Music is divine. It's divine. And when people like totally get it and experience it, you can never go back. It's life changing. My words don't even express it. There are no words to express.
Sometimes there aren't, yes. Sometimes the feeling is too much and too big to actually be able to put words into it. I was talking to some friends the other day who are like musicians, and I was usually telling them that for me music was like my connection to God, you know? And they like looked at me and said, what are you talking about? You know, music is music. And I was like, how come, you know, what's music about? I mean, how can we have, I mean, I know we're different. I know we have different perspectives all the time. But how can somebody experience music and not get to God through it, you know?
Well, you know, Luciana, so let's just look at it this way. When you were posing that thought, I immediately saw this vision of, you know, a 3-year-old or 4-year-old walking, and then I skipped to an Olympic athlete running, right? And you couldn't necessarily see, like, when that 3-year-old at that time, the Olympic athlete at 3 years old, had no idea of how to run with speed, stamina, grace, the body finely tuned and honed as a vehicle, as an extension of spirit to fly through physical space, right? That 3-year-old did not have that full conscious awareness of that experience. We all grow and we deepen as we become more technically proficient, as we become more sensitized to the vibrational frequencies of sound. This is what happens as a musician develops. And it happens when one has the intention of holding an intention to go deep inside the experience of sound. You look at musicians like Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, Pablo Casals, Artur Rubinstein, Alicia de la Roca, these beautiful classical musicians or singers like Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, I'm talking about Natalie Desai, I mean, other different singers, operatic singers. You look at rock and roll musicians, rock musicians, for example, like John Anderson or the musician from Yes, someone like Phil Collins, Paul Simon. I mean, you can just name the list, and you look at them when they began, and you look at them where they are now. And that their artistry, their art has developed and honed, and what they are singing about, artistically expressing, is so much more profound, so much deeper. That is the deepening of relationship of self, small self, to large self. And most of the great musicians that I have ever read about or have been privileged to know all have a very deep relationship to the divine. They express it differently. Because music is, there's no words, but there are no words for it. It is our connection. In my experience, it is my connection to, let me put it this way, when I am in that space and I am not in my personality egoic state, when I am open and the channel is open and I feel it like a vertical channel of light above me and surrounding me, it feels like that. When that channel is open, I know that I am in an expanded state and that the vibrations and the sounds that are coming through me are far beyond whatever I could produce without that connection. And it is so dissatisfying to even make sound without that connection. I am a voice of the divine. I am not that voice when I am not connected. But when I know I am and I feel the light in my heart and I feel the expansion coming out and I feel the love pouring out of my hands, my eyes, my heart when I sing, I know this is not. This is the divine singing through.
And what about the solfeggio frequency?
The what frequency?
The solfeggio frequency?
I'm sorry, I don't get the word you're, the first you're saying.
So it, I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, maybe. It's solfeggio, S-O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O.
Solfeggio. Solfeggio.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I knew it had to do with pronunciation.
That's okay. That's okay. What do you mean by that? I know from my musician training, there's one understanding of it, and I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to. So please explain to me how you perceive that.
Sure. I've heard that the solfeggio frequencies. Did I do it that correctly this time? I've heard that the solfeggio frequencies help us into tuning directly to specific love patterns inside ourselves.
Wow, that's interesting. You said love patterns, L-O-V-E?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's how I understood it, you know. For example, certain notes, when played in this way, can, for example, help us get rid of guilt or get rid of pain or sorts of things like that.
Okay, I know. I believe I understand where what you're asking with this. In the U.S., we use a little bit different language about it. I don't call them the solfeggio frequencies. I would call them the chakra notes. The solfege is do re mi fa sol la si do. Do being the si, the root of the Western scale.
Mm-hmm.
Re or D, which is the sacral. Let me just get my mind. I'm in three places. I'm multitasking in my brain.
It's okay.
Call myself down to be articulate. So in the solfege, as I said, you have do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si.
This podcast will begin to answer this brief message.
Oops.
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Oh, the blog interrupted on me. Your blog radio thing interrupted. So I thought we had a break. Okay,
no.
Do is corresponds to fixed do corresponds to the note C in the Western scale, which in the energy bodies of the chakras corresponds to the root chakra. Re of the solfeggio corresponds to the note D, which corresponds to the sacral area of the sacral chakra, the second chakra. Mi and the solfeggio corresponds to the note E on the Western scale, which corresponds to the solar plexus chakra. Fa corresponds to the note F, like Frank, which corresponds to the heart chakra. Sol corresponds to the note G, which corresponds to the throat chakra. La corresponds to the note A, which corresponds to the third eye, the Ajna chakra. C, S-I, corresponds to the note B, like brilliant, which corresponds to the crown. Now, each one of these chakras works with a particular energy pattern or frequency held in the energy body all the way down to the physical. So as we know, for example, very, 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 very generally now I'm speaking. So the root will deal with issues of fear, insecurity, living on planet Earth. The sacral works with creativity, flow, issues in the sexual, around the sexual area, codependency, sometimes jealousy. The solar plexus works with areas of control and will, divine will as opposed to egoic will. The heart chakra works with things like grief, forgiveness, unconditional love. The throat to communication, to expression of the divine creativity through expressing the divine creativity. The third eye through vision, light, dreams, perceptions, illusions, and the crown through our sense of connection or separation with the divine. So in energy music, or we could say healing music that works with the chakras specifically through sound, when you activate the particular note, for example, the root, D, then you are actually working on an energetic level to clear and balance those issues or those qualities of being, to either stimulate them, stimulate qualities of beings, or to clear and balance the energies that are associated with that particular energy center or chakra. Am I being too complex here? I'm trying to be very simple.
No, it's okay, because, I mean, I get it. I'm sure it's very easy to understand also for the ones that are following us. I specifically understand it because I work with sound in the body as well. I've made some workshops to help people get into the different, I don't know how you say it, triads? You know, 3D. Yeah, so I've taught them how to do that through the voice, you know. It's a total intuitive work I do sometimes. But yes, I understand what you're saying. Now, I've read that these solfeggio frequencies are not are tuned in differently to regular, you know, occidental music. For example, you do not tune in at 440, but at 430 something. I was wondering I was wondering how come that affects the body. Why is it that it has to be tuned in a different way?
Well, anything like that, you know, that is really a perception of the artist or therapist. I have to be careful about this because, for example, like Indian tuning is different from Western tuning, and it will evoke a different state of being. The sound frequencies will actually evoke a different, because it's a different vibratory state. It evokes a different state of consciousness. When you listen to Gregorian chant, you're going to have one experience. When you listen to rag in India, you're going to be put into a completely different state of being. So vibrationally, the frequency of the scale itself, the musical scale itself, is going to vibrationally have a different impact on you because it comes from a different state of being, a different consciousness. Where I am hesitant, because I've heard some about this, I don't know a whole lot about it, so you probably know more about it than I do, but where I am hesitant is when one steps forward and says one scale or one tuning is better than another. Because that I know, in my knowingness, that is not true. Because we are creating, we are divine beings creating. And we're magnificent creators. So whatever it is that we create, when it's done through intention and it's done in great, great love, that is the dominant, that becomes the dominant frequency. So I'm not so convinced yet that the scale itself makes all that much difference. For me, it's always the quality of being of the consciousness of the conduit for the sound.
So how would you describe the direct relation there is between music and love?
Between music and love. Love is the source. Music is the bridge. Music is the expression of source. Love is the source of everything. And when music is the expression of that source, it cannot be calibrated in the impact that it can have to change lives, to change consciousness, to bring that refined vibration into physical form and support, allow, facilitate the experience, the remembrance, the awakening of self in awareness to that vibration. Music allows people to remember who they are as love.
That's very beautiful. Okay, we are already in our last segments of the show. So, first of all, I wanted to give you this big, 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 big hug and tell you... I mean, if I could reach through the computer and get to where you are, I would give you this enormous bear hug, you know. Because it has been not only a wonderful show, it has been a very profound, I think, topic, and the way you've done it, it's like so full of love that I'm very grateful for that. So that's why I'd like to send you this big bear hug.
You're welcome. I'm sending one back, Luciana.
You're the cutest
well,
ever.
So, we'll just there.
You are so sweet. Okay, so, well, I wanted to really, really give you my thanks and the thanks of all the people that are listening and of all the people that will be listening to the show because everybody can listen to it on demand. If anybody would like to buy Ashana's CDs, I think you sell them through Amazon, through CD Baby, and through something else?
SpiritVoyage.com.
Right, SpiritVoyage.com.
Yeah.
You can also check out Ashana's webpage, which is ashanamusic.com, and you'll find more information about her work, about her CDs, and about the beautiful soul she is. I really want to thank you for actually incarnating with us and helping us grow with your life, with all the things that you do. And maybe hope that we can have you sometime soon in our show again.
That would be wonderful. It would be my pleasure.
Thank you very much, love, for all your help and for all the wisdom that you've shared with us. Thanks for sharing your light with us today.
You're welcome, Luciana. My pleasure. Much love to you.
Much love to you, too. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, dear. Take care. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much again.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.